You know, you had people doubt you, but yet you had the vision so clear. It's where it says, all you need is the faith of a mustard seed. You're very dedicated and you're not going to give up. It's not about what's in your race, but in your pace.
Education, I mean, it's number one. But that education, you know, I always laugh about it, but I'm like, I don't have a high school diploma or a GED. I actually dropped out at sixth grade and people are like, no, that's crazy. Like, you can't do that. I'm like, well, look at me. But a lot of life lessons are learned from the way that you learned as well, as just from hardships and having to go through the everyday. This isn't a part of what I was going to talk about, but I do have a conversation. How do you two work together in business? Because I see a lot of people that cannot.
We've challenged ourselves to learn and grow every single day. Increase marketing, making sure you're doing the right margins, you know, within your finances. Those are things I didn't know at the beginning when I started running a business. I just had the teacher heart. You have to get in and do that work. If you want to grow, you really have to stretch yourself. You have to find the research, get your hands on the right book, listen to the right podcast, build that circle of people who can encourage you.
If you ask God and you believe in Him and you put your all in Him, He's going to provide for you. He's going to give you that opportunity. And I think that's huge for other people watching this podcast, is that everybody has a purpose.
This just helps production out back know exactly what your change orders are.
So today we have on the podcast, on the Tiny Home Podcast, welcome. I'm your host, Colton Croft. I have special guests here today with me, Amanda and Austin. And we're just so glad that you're here. And, you know, on the Tiny Home Podcast, we talk about, you know, the freedom, financial, and independence of building a legacy through tiny homes and real estate. And that's why, you know, we thought you're the perfect guest to have on today. So welcome to the Tiny Home Podcast. Thank you. This is your first podcast.
Yes, exciting.
And Austin, he's been on several times, but he's also scared to get on podcasts. He doesn't like it. And I'm going to introduce you. So Amanda, a faith-driven entrepreneur who built a thriving early childhood education business, which is ECE, business scaling from one location, not only one to four. Their journey is not just about business. It's about purpose, family, and financial stewardship. So welcome on the show.
That's right. Thank you.
So tell me a little bit about you before we start. Tell us your name, where you live, how old you are.
So I'm Amanda Ganey. I am a 42-year-old woman. I am married and have three children. And we run and operate this family business together. So all hands on deck with our family.
Gotcha. So tell me, you know, on that, like, where did it all start?
So ever since I was a little girl, I always knew that I would be a teacher. You know, most little girls dream of being a teacher and dealing with babies and children. So when I got married at 18, I pursued a degree in education. Well, my husband and I were deployed, not deployed, but stationed in Colorado. And I got a job in a preschool there. And the owners that I worked for had 21 locations. So it kind of opened up this whole mindset of, wow, there's so much more working with children besides being a certified teacher in public school. So at that time is when that idea was really birthed in me, like, wow, you could do this birth to five, which is our specialty for early education, run your centers. So I kind of pursued that. We moved back to Arkansas, had our first daughter, went ahead and got a job in public school. I opened the first pre-K class in our town in Falk, Arkansas. And I loved it, but you kind of go through that rut. I did it for 8 years and I feel like I could do it with my eyes closed. I was like, there's more. You kind of have that inner drive and you know that there's more that you want to do.
So when you said at 18, mm-hmm. you know, most people are graduating high school at 18. Yeah, God placed a dream in your heart. How did you know that was your calling at 18, being that age?
I just knew. Even when I was younger, I would be in high school and they would pull me into the elementary classrooms. They would let me shadow the elementary teachers and help them. And I can remember people speaking over me like, hey, you're good at this. Like, you're going to be good at this. So I've just always had that confirmation fed to me in my life. And I just think you just know when you're just given that God-given talent, God just equips you and guides you.
And then, you know, fast forward in 2 years, you're hand drawing your first plans at 20.
Yes.
What gives you the confidence at 20 to not only go from, okay, I think I can, I'm good at what I do to now saying, all right, I'm gonna go make this work at 20 years old. How do you at 20 get the confidence to say, all right, today's the day?
Yeah. I've always just been goal driven. I write everything down, like whatever goals I want, I write it down, I record it. You know, the word says to write it out, run with it, make it happen. So I just knew that that was my first step. You have to put something in print. That's your first step of making anything happen.
That is very good. I still remember back when we were 18, 19, 20 years old, and our first mentor was like, all right, write your goals out.
That's right.
And they're like 1 year, 3 year, 10 year.
That's right.
And we're like 10 year. Like we're trying to get past this year.
There's just power in putting it down on paper.
And so that's super incredible of, you know, I'm only 24, so we've not been doing this a while either. But, you know, getting around the right people, even this podcast, some people might look at it as a stupid thing or something that's, you know, not even relatable to some people, but to other people, it's a source of a way to tell everyone's story and to get it out. And I'm just so happy that you're on today. But tell me a little bit more about when you first started. So at 20, you had the confidence, people doubted you. What mindset shifts help you push past the negativity and make it into an action?
You know, like one thing I will say, and I don't know if it's a positive thing, but it's my drive. If people challenge me and say I can't do it, I like to say, watch this, you know?
Yeah.
So that was kind of my thing. People were like, you're crazy leaving this job at public school, this job security. You can retire here. I was great at it, but I just wanted to challenge myself. So I pursued it. I did all the homework of opening up my first business, and I was 28 when I first opened the doors, and it was successful. God truly blessed it. I think when you're obedient to the Lord that's when God will show favor in your life.
And then tell me some lessons, first year in business. Give me some real life lessons you learned from starting your first business. And then, you know, two is scaling it and then, you know, into real estate investments as well. But what's some lessons? Like, give me five lessons as an entrepreneur starting your own business in Falk, Arkansas.
Yeah.
What do you go through that most people go through but never talk about?
Yeah. I think so, like with our industry and early education, we're customer service driven. We're tending to children. We are investing and being personal with our employees and customer service to our families. Like they choose to come to us. They choose to trust us with their children. Some hardships that I had, I think the first few years, 28, you know, I mean, you're still young. You still have a lot to learn. At 28, I thought I knew everything, but you just don't. Every day you're growing and learning new things. But in my early years of opening the business and being an entrepreneur I should have invested a little bit more in my employees. There were some things going on that I could have handled or managed to prevent from things happening. The other thing is in my industry, the hardship and challenging parts can be children's behavior sometimes, whether there's a diagnosis or children need extra help or therapy. Being more hands-on with children's behavior. So there's a few things that I look back on scenarios, but I'm a firm believer that through every situation you go through, you learn. How can we prevent this from not happening again? How can we grow through this scenario? So I kind of laugh now all these years of running. I was like, man, why did I do that? Or I should have done that. Why didn't I do that? But it's a growing period. You know, you just don't know everything when you first open a business.
No, you don't. And I think, you know, that's why a lot of people don't even start.
Yeah, it can be overwhelming.
It can be, but it's, you know, it's for people that really want to make a difference. But if you never do it, then what happens?
That's right.
Then you go and you're 50 years old and all of a sudden you look up and, you know, half your life is gone. Now it's too late.
Yeah.
But the thing is, it's not too late. You know, Warren Buffett, I think, made his first $1 million at, I think, 51 or 50 years old or something. But I have some questions for you, Austin, before we keep going forward. So tell the podcast, tell the listeners, like, how did you two meet? What is Austin Croft doing with Amanda and her school? And
yeah, you bet. So I met them. It's kind of a crazy story. We probably met through the rodeo world side of things, but they've got a great family. And I met her daughter through some of my best friends, and we got to hanging out, and I got to knowing their dad. Lance, which don't like to get in front of the screens, but oh well. Somebody's sitting in the very back. He's hiding. But I got to know their family, and to me it stood out really quickly of how they were driven by not only the Bible, but a true family-based, you know, family that takes pride in who they are, and they have the vision of knowing where they're going and what they're believing in and what they're doing. It really stood out to me how I got to know them, and now me and Lance talk two or three times a week, and we can talk about anything, and I know I can take anything to him, and that their family's gotten very dear to me and very close to me. One thing that really stood out to me is, you know, you had people doubt you, and but yet you had the vision so clear. It's where it says, all you need is the faith of a mustard seed. And you had that, and you knew that what you wanted for your family was best for your family. And you didn't give up on that. And that really stood out to me, is seeing your family and seeing how you've took something from nothing, and now you were awarded the two top awards of Texarkana, Texas, and Arkansas for having the preschool of what you've got. And that really stood out to me, is you're very dedicated, and you're not going to give up. It's not about what's in your race, but in your pace. You've got what it takes to keep that pace going at a consistent rate, to where there's nothing going to stop y'all. It's really, they've gotten very close to me, and I actually was able to take a couple hundred pounds of cinnamon rolls and stuff and go take them to their school, and, you know, seeing the smile on the kids' faces and stuff is what it's all about.
That's right.
Having that opportunity, because you can't do that in just any schools out there. That's why it's so important to invest your kids into this type of preschool, where they're actually took care of, they're learning the true values of the Bible and how they need to be brought up, because of how she had this vision of knowing what these schools actually need. There's such a high need out there for children that are growing up and they don't have a good school to go to.
Education, I mean, it's number one. I mean, without education, you know, I always laugh about it, but I'm like, you know, I don't have a high school diploma or a GED. I actually dropped out at sixth grade, and people are like, no, that's crazy. Like, you can't do that. And I'm like, well, look at me. But I think, you know, a lot of life lessons, you know, are learned from the way that you learned, as well as just from hardships and having to go through the everyday. You know, I don't like the word grind, but the everyday life of business. And so let's get back to the actual timeline, because it's not been that long ago. So in 2018, you bought your first building and then expanded to the second one in 2019. What financial or strategic moves had to be made to make that possible?
In purchasing our first building.
That, and then going to the second building a year later.
Yeah. So that's one thing about Lance and I, we're both just very goal-driven. So like once we bought our first building and made that successful, we immediately started setting our next goal. Okay, well, here we go. So now we're saving up, going to put this aside. Let's keep growing. We're finalizing our official third building right now. We're building that ground up. And him and I both laugh and say, okay, we may take a pause button this year and regroup and get re-ready. But we just feel like that we're in our prime. We're in our 40s, you know, that comes wisdom and maturity. You kind of have a full gasp of financial means and accountability. So him and I just kind of work together on our business plans, and we do want to keep growing, but there are stepping stones that have to be in place in order to do that.
Now, this isn't a part of what I was going to talk about, but I do have a conversation. How do you two work together in business? Because I see a lot of people that cannot.
Yeah.
I you know, I see a lot of people that fight about it. They go home. They can't agree on anything. How do you two behind the scenes?
So, you know, Lance and I are very unique. Him and I, though, honestly, we're each other's best friends. So, and now we've added in this whole business partner mm-hmm. in the past few years. But I think most importantly is we respect each other on what my responsibilities are and what my lane is versus what his responsibilities are and what his lane is. We don't necessarily always agree, but we respect on who's making that decision for that area. But I mean, he is my best friend. We've been together 26 years. Still to this day, he calls me his girlfriend. So, and I think that's what makes our relationship special. We were listing all the things him and I have done together over the years. And I said, and here we are adding in running businesses together. So
maybe adding a podcast later this year. What do you think, Lan?
He does.
He's going to be the host.
He has great words of wisdom. So that would be great.
I told him, you know, we have an extra set there. And he's like, no, I'm not doing that.
Not yet. Next one he'll be.
But then, you know, what, you know, we talk about 2019, second building, and then acquiring the land for the third building. How did your faith and the business strategy work together for all of that?
It all just came together. I mean, I have so many, like, testimonies that I can share for every encounter that it was just him and I are like, this is what we're supposed to, this is it. Like, God is just confirmation. This is where we are. For example, on our first building that we purchased in 2018, we opened doors 2019. Lance, you know, I mean, he stretches me and pushes me. I'm his wife. I'm his partner. Now his business partner, but he has, for years before that, he was like, you need to start branching out and owning your own. Because the first one I opened was at my church. And I had a wait list of over 300. And he says, you know, the community needs it. You need to expand. And I just never had peace for the Lord to do that, even though he was encouraging me. Finally, just one day, I just felt like the Lord had gave me peace that it was time. On a Sunday afternoon, it was after church, we had had lunch and we're sitting there. And I said, I just feel like that it's time. Let's start looking for a building. And he's like, are you serious? I've been waiting for you to be ready. And we had a family member come over. We shared the good news with them because, you know, it was a family topic that we had all shared together, you know, what I wanted to do, but was kind of too scared to take that leap. And we all was excited together. And that was on a Sunday afternoon between like 2 and 3. I go to work on Monday morning the very next day and my phone is ringing at my office. And they're, you know, begging for a spot for their child at my school. And I said, well, what's happened? Well, this daycare in Texarkana is closing. And it was a lady that I had mentored and worked with years before.
Wow.
And I call her and I speak to her. And her name is Miss Freddie here in Texarkana. And she's absolutely a heart of gold and loves the Lord. And she did this industry for years. And her exact words to me were, make me an offer. I wouldn't want to sell it to anyone but you. So, I mean, you're talking, I mean, 12 hours later, confirmation.
That's crazy.
I mean, and Lance and I mean, we were just like so shook, physically like shook up, like, wow, what? Look at the Lord and how he's working. Because, you know, hours before, the Lord had given me peace. We proclaimed it. Okay, we're going to do this. And my exact words were to him, I need a building who is already licensed for preschool because there's so many things you have to do with fire and health and et cetera. And, I mean, the Lord did exactly that. And actually, when we made an offer on the building, someone came out and overbid us by a significant amount of money. But Miss Freddie's heart was, she knew that we would pour into children and that it would be a faith-based program. And she declined their offer and accepted ours. So we walked through that with obedience of we're doing what the Lord has told us to do. And then so we bought that building and we filled it. And at that time, I had decided to resign from the church. And we bought a little church in Falk, which is where we live. It's a small little town. And again, Falk was the place people told me not to grow. People in Falk won't pay. It won't be successful. But Falk is my home. Falk is my community. And I wanted quality early education there. And the church that we bought, it worked out. It was a great deal. And then the windows are like rainbow windows. So I'm like, it's just God's promise. Like every time I pull up in that driveway, you know, the church has the rainbow windows. And that's just what I proclaim. Operating in faith, you know.
So how many employees do you guys have now?
We were counting on the way here. And with our third location, because with Genoa, we are going to have 31 employees.
Wow.
We never dreamed.
We went from a small business to a...
Yes. We never dreamed, you know, that we would be operating this big. And sometimes it can be overwhelming, you know. But we just have policies in place and procedures in place. And we train everybody. And we just, it's just good. Business
is
good.
I'll talk about that. Why do you think most businesses, they don't focus on the policies and procedures, the standard operating procedures that every business needs, and then every single day they go back and they're like pulling their hair out, wondering why it's happening over and over and over again?
Yeah, I think it's just one of those things. Policies that's in writing, they have to be implemented. If you're not implementing those policies and those guidelines, they're the lefts and rights of your business. And like I tell my employees, because in our schools, you know, we're keeping 200 students safe. It's a big right. liability. But I tell them, if you follow the rules that we've applied in our operating policies and our SOPs, rules keep us safe. Rules keeps us inside our limits, which makes us successful and things to flow properly. And that's with Lance, with his military experience. He's really big about SOPs. He builds all of those for us, staff policies, family policies. Like, that's his specialty that he offers to our business. And he's big about, what do we have in writing? Like, he implements. So you can't just have a binder over here that's typed up and looks all good. Like, you truly have to implement that. And I think it's good for your employees to know that too.
Yeah, I was actually a couple minutes before you guys got in here, if we're talking about safety, as you know. So there was a 15-year-old this morning, talking about education as well, went into the Texarkana private airport with an AR-15 demanding a pilot take off with him. And so, you know, goes back to not only education, not only, you know, parents, having great parents, but the other fact of the matter is safety.
That's right.
You know, you mentioned that you had 200 kids. That's a big liability.
Yeah.
And with today's world, you know, with the video games and everything like that, you know, we had the privilege of not being allowed that, but now I see it as, you know, I don't want my kids to grow up with video games of, you know, Call of Duty or anything like that. I mean, it's puts a mindset in that you have more experience in kids, trust me, and growing kids than I do. I don't have any kids yet, so I'm probably going to call you when I have a problem with my kids. I'm like, hey, I need some advice.
Give me a call.
I'm like, I'm going to call Amanda.
No.
You know, we're all here. We're real estate investors. We're real estate, you know, developers, stuff like that. So how did, in your business growth in real estate, how did your real estate ownership impact your business success and financial stability?
So when we first initially started building our business, that was one of the best advices that we got, was not to just lease the land, but to buy, or lease the property, but to buy it. And we have, of course, learned through all the tax breaks that it's best yes. for you to own the building versus lease and rent. So when we hear people in this industry and I'm hearing that they're renting or leasing, I'm like, man, you're missing out on a big opportunity. So just owning the building in itself is a liability protection for us, and it helps with taxes and just being profitable.
I do hope on the camera, Mr. Trump, if you can abolish the income taxes, that would help us small business owners in Northeast Texas and
Agreed.
Arkansas. Thank you. No, it's, you know, people don't talk about the taxes. They're like, oh, let's start a business. Let's do this. But they don't really understand what impact, you know, instead of buying versus leasing, how to set up the structure of the business and stuff like that. They're like, I just know what I want to sell. This is what I want to do. So I'm going to start a plumbing company. Great. We're going to put some advertisement out. We're going to start doing plumbing, but they don't. How did you learn? Did you have anyone teaching you or showing you about the ins and outs of business? How did you learn about taxes, about everything that a business owner needs to learn?
Yeah. So my heart has always been teaching children. So I was natural at that. That came natural mm-hmm. to me. I had my degree in it. What I was lacking was business. I remember the first time I had to do QuickBooks, you know, I was like, wow. I did some, my CPA pulled me aside and did like a small little one-on-one thing with me. And I had another family member who had used QuickBooks frequently that had did some training with me. But it was one of those things I had to tackle on my own. Okay, you're running a business now. You're running payroll. You have to figure all of this out. Because coming out of a classroom teacher, those are things I've never had to do. So people investing in me asking the right questions, research, YouTube, buying books. I kind of just taught myself. But that's the one thing that I did lack when I did open that business. You know, I knew what I wanted, but I didn't know how to go about that. And honestly, it took me years. I always tell Lance, man, I wish we'd opened businesses before when we did. But I do believe that there's a time and a season for when you're supposed to do it.
When you're ready.
That's right. And then once we started doing our own businesses, then I just took on that whole new challenge because, I mean, we were providing a livelihood for our family. And we wanted to be the best and do the best. So we've just learned together. I mean, we read books, listen to podcasts. We want to improve on this. This is our goals this year for our business. We've challenged ourselves to learn and grow every single day. Increase marketing, making sure you're doing the right margins, you know, within your finances. Those are things I didn't know at the beginning when I started running a business. I just had the teacher heart, you know. I just wanted to have a school for children to come and learn. So I've had to develop that, but we've done well.
And then as soon as you make any profit, the government says, I need my share.
Yeah. And ours, you know, my husband will gripe about taxes and insurance.
As a CFO should.
Insurance is hard for us too, you know. I mean, it's pretty significant and it's hard in our industry right now with the insurance rates, but we hope things will get better.
Yeah. So talk about rules and rules, like I call it rule clarity. So he is your CFO, correct?
Correct.
So what is your role?
So my role is I manage all of my directors, which are on site, basically supervisors. They run my schools for me. I oversee them, but I always tell him no matter how big I get, I want to know every student's name. I want to know all of my families. I show up at my schools. Sometimes I work at my home office. I work in my schools. I'm the one that oversees and plans and makes everything happen. Okay, but then I have on-site directors at each location. Lance handles all of the financial, the budgeting, all of those things. My daughter, Michaela, is a very important role in our business. She has also finished her degree, and she is coming up and doing all of our marketing and more of our lead teacher, like training our employees so that they're trained correctly. So she's a great asset. So everyone, we've really built this team. We have all these people on the bench that's like, hey, you're doing this and you're doing this. But overall, at the end of the day, I just manage and oversee all the ins and outs of the school.
And so on the CFO role, how does he help you like navigate your finances, policies, operations? What's the communication between him and you like on, you know, navigating through the finances, or if something comes up, hey, what is this charge?
Yeah.
How does he help you navigate through all of that?
Sometimes he fusses if I have too many receipts. No, Lance is really good. Like he'll print the profit and loss sheets and be like, hey, you know, like we spent a lot here, you know, why did we buy so many classroom tables or et cetera? He holds us accountable because me, if I want it, I'm just that business owner. I want my students to have the best. We have a really nice school. And if I see that we need something new, I just want to buy it. Well, now that he's the CFO, he's like, okay, so do we really need this? Well, how about we push this back to here? He holds me more accountable for that spending. And then just helps hold the long-term financial goals too. So he's great at that.
Mr. Budget over there.
He does hold me accountable.
And we talked about your daughter. So tell the audience a little bit about, you know, your kids that you have. But now, Michaela, as you said, how did she go from this is your dream to now it's her dream as well?
Yeah. I love that story because Michaela, has, you know, she grew up in the ECE world and she's like, this is not for me. And I'm like, great, you know, God has equipped you and has called you and you go find your calling. And then as soon as she graduated high school and she had her high school diploma, which is legal to be in a classroom with students, you have to have a diploma or a GED. I put her in a toddler class and she fell in love with it.
Wow.
And I mean, immediately, like, this is what I'm doing. I'm changing my degree. She did graduate college. She's worked for us since day one. So it's been 6 years now at the Texarkana location. And it's just funny to see Michaela operate in what God has called her to do. But we are also one of those families that if that season changes or God puts you in a different direction, there's no obligation that you have to be here, you know. So we are very transparent and mindful of that with her. But she loves it. She's good at it. My families love her. I mean, they love her without her even knowing that she's the boss's daughter, you know.
Yeah.
Like she's earned her way in the business.
Right.
And I think that's rewarding for us as parents to have.
Not just, here's what we built, now take it over, versus she actually, like you said, grew up from one of the smallest classes to now running everything. So it's a level of earned respect.
That's right.
And so, and I did not know this, so your twins' involvement, what does it mean to include the next generation in, you know, not only business, but in real estate as well, and teaching them as well?
Oh, I love it. We always tell our kids, you know, be entrepreneurs and make a living. You don't always have to work for other people. Here's these business opportunities. And I think all three of our kids, especially those twins, like, they can see the opportunity that's there. You don't just have to go and get a job and work for someone. They see the ins and the outs. They see the sacrifice that Lance and I make together. Sometimes, you know, businesses talk at the house a lot and we have to kind of turn it off, you know. But they see the joys and the benefits of being in the business and the real estate and the potential that's there. And the twins are really hungry for that, you know.
And how old are they?
They are about to be 17.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is crazy. I've never met them. I didn't even know you guys had twins.
Yeah.
You know, we grew up on a family of seven.
Mm-hmm.
So it was always, I think my dad always was trying to fit us in wherever we tried to fit. You know, me and Austin, when we were growing up, we were on the ranch. Kyler was, you know, he hated a horse. He hated cows. Did not like it. Hated every minute of it. And so he was always, you know, trying different stuff, trying different things. But me and him, like, so I think I see a lot of our family and your family of, you know, I don't live at the house anymore. Austin doesn't. We've kind of all moved out by this point. But every time that we go back there, it's all, you know, too much business. And so it's hard not to, because we're such an entrepreneur family that, you know, every time that we get together, we're so excited about this opportunity that just came up.
You're sharing wins or the hardships, or it's this conversation.
Solving problems around the dinner. And then after, you know, after a while, if you don't do it, then you start missing that of like, oh, I should go home and, you know, we're just going to eat dinner together. Well, you know, next thing we know, we're eating steaks and we're talking about the next business opportunity that we see and the next thing that we need to change. And, you know, a lot of people, you know, when I first started dating Courtney, she was not aware, like, she was not in any of those conversations of, like, her family is totally different. And so it was hard for her to transition from no business to everything business.
All business.
And that is such, I'm so blessed to be part of a family like ours, and I'm sure that your kids feel the exact same way. You know, I feel like there's people my age that, you know, they don't get the opportunities that we did. But also parents like you guys, their parents didn't sacrifice like my parents did and what you're doing for the next generation for you. And, you know, prime example of what you're doing for the, you know, other people's kids. You know, we get trained, I believe, in high school of like to be an employee, which, you know, there's some people that are meant to be for that. But on the other end, there's no hard thinking that goes into it. There's no, you know, I always told Zeke, when I have kids, I have a conference room back there that we're going to turn into a preschool, and I'm going to hire a tutor, and I'm going to, like, every day, all right, so 5 days a week, you come to school, you know. And I was like, communication's number one. Learn how to communicate your manners. And so what do you teach to, like, what fundamentals do you teach that a regular high school, DeKalb High School, wouldn't teach, or a regular, you know, elementary school wouldn't teach other kids?
So, and that's something that we really take pride in. I mean, just in our home, raising our own three children, and also in our schools, is we always talk about, like, learning station manners, being respectful, kind, learning to control your mind, but also your thoughts. Children aren't taught to regulate their emotions. You know, it's okay to be sad. It's how we behave when we're sad. Those are life skills that children have to have. I'm big about communication and one-on-one. That's the thing about our schools, is we can tell you everything about our children because we're personally invested in them. We're a relational. And I think that a lot of times in public school, I mean, all of my kids went to public school. Michaela graduated from Falk through her 12th grade. The twins, we started homeschooling when they hit 9th grade. They're bull riders, so they're always hitting some rodeos, mm-hmm. and we're traveling, and attendance was a little stressful. Us working for ourselves, we have the flexibility and the schedule. So we started homeschooling them and their 9th grade year, and then they work for Lance on the farm. So the things that Lance can teach them on the farm and out in the shop is not even comparable to what...
It's real-life problems, real-life, you know, real-life...
And Lance is a great dad, and he invests in them. And, I mean, the twins can do alike. I mean, some things grown men can't do, but it's that exposure. So education is good. Public school is good. But the benefits of a homeschool, that one-on-one, it's not comparable. The benefit to a quality early education is not comparable. You know, at our schools, we're planting that seed to faith. We're talking about our emotions. We're talking about why we behave a certain way, because it's biblical. It's what Jesus wants us to do. Those are, I mean, they're not comparable. And we hope that when they go to kindergarten and they leave our schools, that they always remember what they were taught at the learning station. It's a big, impactful job. It's super rewarding.
It really is. And, you know, I'm definitely going to call you when I start having kids. I get married on May 23rd, so she wants one like right away. So I'm like, let's hold off for a little bit at least. Talk about, how do you balance the faith in making the financial and bold decisions that a business owner has to? You know, I've run a very large business, and it takes a lot of faith sometimes, you know, especially in our slow, wet months that there's, you know, I still remember being a young company. We're still, you know, a little bit young, but a lot more mature in business now. Of, you know, not even making, like, we didn't know where payroll was going to hit next week. How do you integrate faith with business?
So, I mean, like I said, we operate by faith, but we also operate through knowledge, you know. When we've taken these big steps of expanding, like looking at the numbers, maybe we should have waited a year or two, you know. But we operated through faith by just taking that leap. We knew what was to come, just having that hope. And God's just always favored that. So we do use common knowledge of what is possible, what QuickBooks is reflecting, what the accounts are reflecting. But at the end of the day, I mean, we just get down and do what we have to do, and we know that it's going to work. And I think that that is through hope and faith.
That is very good. And I still remember, you know, me and Kyler, my dad, we're owners. And like, we're sitting around and we're like, we don't know. Like, we don't know if this is the right decision. This, you know, even a large building like this in a small town of DeKalb, Texas, it's kind of a very bold move.
Yes, agreed.
Like, you see DeKalb, okay? If anybody's ever drone through DeKalb, there's two red lights. There's one Sonic, one Mexican restaurant, and one other family restaurant.
Right.
And a Dollar General and a Spring Market. And that's it. Like, there's nothing that says DeKalb is the place to build. And so we're winding down on the podcast, but give some advice to some entrepreneurs that they may be feeling stuck, but they know they feel they're called to something bigger, but don't know where to start.
I say just like dive in. Sometimes Lance and I talk about being in the trenches. You know, you have to get in and do that work. If you want to grow, you really have to stretch yourself. You have to find the research, get your hands on the right book, listen to the right podcast, build that circle of people who can encourage you. And that's just how you grow. So you have to have that knowledge to be successful. You have to know what you're doing. So that's what you're lacking. You have that desire there, but not the knowledge. You have to go find it. You have to be willing to do the work, the sleepless nights, the stress, the praying. That all comes with growing and being successful.
And I think, you know, having a, you know, a best friend like Lance for you, I mean, we also had, you know, so many mentors at Saturday nights at 11 o'clock. We're trying to figure things out, and it's so stressful. But that's behind the scenes, you know. I've heard so many times it must be nice.
Yeah, and Lance and I joke about that.
And I'm like, yeah.
He's like, if they only knew.
And, you know, if you do something in, you know, Texarkana is a small town.
Right.
So I was talking to another entrepreneur the other day, and they're like, you know, if you do something outside of Texarkana's normal things, they're like, that must be nice. And I'm like, it is, but you have no idea the sacrifice the entrepreneurs make every day, because you know, it's a big thing. Businesses do go out of business.
That's right. It breaks my heart every time I see a small business or a restaurant. I'm like, man.
There's something.
Maybe there was a way that they could have. You know, that's how I'm wired, you know?
Yes.
And it's just heartbreaking to see, you know, people's dreams or ambitions not make. So.
And I always say, you never fail until you quit.
That's right.
There's always a way, in my opinion. I'm just driven that way.
Lance and I will look at each other and laugh and be like, we're in this together. We got this, you know?
There's no backing down.
Like, we're like.
Or until Kelly hits the fan and she's like, you're the CFO.
Why did we lose money?
And I mean, we're just like, we'll regroup. We got through it. I mean, we're just in it together. We just have that mindset of no quit.
And so the parallels between your journey and tiny home buyers, you know, both require vision, faith, and finance planning. What lessons can a tiny home buyer, and we're on a tiny home podcast, what lessons can they take from you and, you know, learn to invest from your story?
You know, I just think operate in faith and hope and set your goals, write them down, and go for them.
That is so good. And I think there's so many people that, you know, Austin, you can even attest, that come in here, they're like, our dream was to have a tiny home, or our dream was to start some passive income. But that was 25 years ago.
Right.
Now they look up and they're like, is it too late?
Right.
And I think that's the biggest thing that I've even learned from talking to you is it's never too late.
That's right.
You know, it's either one day or day one. And I think that's the most beneficial thing, is you can just do it.
That's right.
And that's what, you know, the work is in everything that you're trying to avoid. That's what you're missing. And so the last thing is final words of encouragement for those looking to create a legacy through business and real estate. And then tell us where can people learn more about your journey in business?
So for my journey in business, as far as the early childhood, that's what you're asking?
Or just knowing you of where to follow you.
Okay.
How do they find you? And then a final word of encouragement for those looking to create a legacy from your story.
Okay. So you can find our schools at learningstationcdc.org. We have all of our school information there. Of course, we're on every social media platform. We love advertising our schools and what we offer to the communities. And as far as, you know, like building that legacy, just go for it and do it. You know, we're put on this earth to do something impactful, and you need to do it.
That is so good. You have one more thing to add?
I do, and I think it's incredible how from what I've gotten to know you from, especially today, is like, you know, you've had these visions and goals, and you ask God for them, and then he puts them in front of you, and you had this mindset that you're going forward. And that's what y'all have done. And I think that's very incredible.
Thank you.
You know, if you ask God and you believe in him and you put your all in him, he's going to provide for you. He's going to give you that opportunity. And I think that's huge for other people watching this podcast, is that everybody has a purpose. And it's taking the time to ask God, putting your faith and trust in him, and knowing that he's going to be there to provide and help you along the way, because it's not easy. Nobody knows the behind the scenes that y'all have put in to all of this. And now look at what it's impacting. It's pretty incredible. It's very incredible.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you.
For coming on, telling your story. And number one, thank you for, you know, impacting children.
Yes.
Thank you to all our subscribers. If you're a subscriber, share it with someone. If you can like it, post it, comment anything below. We'll put her information down in the comment section as well. Thank you, guys. We'll see you in the next one.
If you enjoyed this video, drop a like. If you have any questions we didn't answer, drop a comment. And guys, tune into next week's episode, where we will continue to educate you about the tiny home industry.